started. Half a day, this is the Guam EPA Board of Directors regular meeting. Today's date is Thursday, March 19. The approximate time is 4 o'clock p.m. This meeting is being recorded. Let's go around the room. Stephen Carbolito.
Stephen Carrara.
Fran Castro. Fran Castro.
Heather Kittigua.
Steve Hollister.
Okay, here we have a quorum. The publication went out. Let's get this meeting started. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda.
I will second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Next one, meeting minutes from last meeting.
I'll make a motion.
I will second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Turn over to you, Glenn, for the administrator's report.
Half a day. My name is Glenn Smithers. I'm acting administrator while Michelle Nassimosa is off island attending a director's meeting at Region 9, San Francisco, California. I'd like to report 53 FTEs, full-time employees, currently on the books. We still have a recruitment that is ongoing for an environmental technician for water and environmental specialist 1. Agency headquarters update. We have ongoing discussions with Kunimoto Designs, an A&E firm, which provided a design for a new building and is heading straight to the March 3rd. They had a 30% design review presentation with the agency. We provided comments to the designers on some of the needs that we have and some of the staffing information that was not quite right. In terms of the tires, there's an IFB for removal and disposal. $4 million was approved by US EPA. IFB was submitted in March 27, 2026. The contract would be for removing, disposing used tires and scrap metal, including mobilization of equipment, labor, processing site certification, and the handling of recovered materials for off-island shipment. Under policy, public hearing on proposed on-water, wastewater treatment and disposal system regulations for residential septic tank and systems and temporary toilet facilities. So the last update, the newest update is on March 11, 2026. We hand delivered to Central Files for the governor's approval. We picked it up at the AG's office, so we had it hand delivered. So we're just waiting for that response. Programs, projects, and partnerships. The Dildren.
What are Central Files?
Central Files is the basically the government of Guam's
central hub.
Central hub of all incoming documents, correspondence. It goes into the Central Files and then it's distributed out to the different agencies in Adelup and then out to the rest of the agencies in the government.
That's pertaining to this.
Yes. So we turn in the documents to Central Files and then they give it to the governor's office for the governor's review and approval. So we had a Dildren town hall meeting in Jigo on the 25th. Over 100 attendees were present. Jigo Mayor live streamed the town hall meeting on their YouTube channel. Captain DeGrange presented on the agency's activities since the last town hall meeting and discussed next steps regarding the soil study and the public health assessments. Department of Ag, GWA were present, but did not get a chance to speak because the focus shifted to public comments and questions just as DO, Department of Agriculture, started their discussion. Then, you know, there was claims that were brought up. We received a little over 30 claims through the Office of the Attorney General, which are still reviewed for response. Most claims seeks approximately $500,000 for health monitoring and reimbursement for or the installation of point of entry systems. And then the GEPA, USEPA, GWA Dildon response. We're currently working with USEPA and Joint Region Marianas on the investigation plan review. Under the legal basis, it's federally facility agreement under circular section 120 that requires investigation, remediation, and contamination. And that's the basis of our investigation, is to obtain some of that information that we currently have available for review. Potential source, former Anderson Air Force Base housing units that were built in the 1950s and 1960s and that were demolished in 2016-2017. Soil studies of the 2022-24 NAFAC reports found Dildon exceedances in shallow soils. And these exceedances really were based on NAFAC's internal protocols for contaminated soils, because we don't have RSL on Dildon for soil, which is a regional screening level. USEPA and Guam EPA joint letter dated 23 December 2025 requesting Joint Region Marianas to present submit a work plan for the Dildon source investigation by 27 February 2026. They submitted their work plan on the date that it was due. The draft work plan is currently under review with Guam EPA and USEPA. It does have a UIC, which is a controlled unclassified information, also known as for official use only. So that's information that if a request comes in, the generator of the plan would be the clearing and authorization for the release of that document. GEPA and Department of Public Health, ATSDR, there's no updates at this time. And I just left what was there from the last meeting, just for your edification. Administrative appeals. I'll go ahead and refer that to Kristen.
I'll just go. I mean, I see you have status reports later on. So do you want me to talk about these now as part of the administrator report, or do you want me to?
Talk to you guys.
Okay. So first, we did have the evidentiary hearing on licensing decision for Mr. Coffendaffer for the well driller's license, and we submitted our proposed findings for the hearing officer's review, and so the next step would be the hearing officer is going to make a written recommendation to the board.
So the hearing officer ETA on the proposed decision is March 26.
Regarding the Palisades matter, so we did have a status conference on Tuesday, and at the status conference, the hearing officer had instructed, I guess my understanding is that the evidentiary hearing is going to be before the board with the hearing officer there, and so
that's not decided yet, but you could continue.
Okay, well, what she had requested is that if the board is, wanting it to be before the board, if you could, at the next meeting, because it's not scheduled for, it's not on the agenda for you guys to make a decision on it this meeting, but she would like to see a resolution with the names of the board members who would be in attendance. So, just the other thing I can say about that is that there was, I think she set aside like 5 days. She said maybe it could go to 6 days for the hearing. So you would need to be prepared to have that time set aside. And we're looking at, there's no dates yet, but we're looking at sometime in July. Oh, and then, sorry, one last thing is that they were also considering the venue, so I'm not sure if, like, the hearing officer had requested that I ask that this, you know, if we had this room available, but I'm not sure that this room would be big enough to accommodate everybody that would need to attend. And then, so then the other, there's one more appeal that's pending, and that's it's another notice of violation that was issued to Tuhan. And for that one, a hearing officer has been requested, but we don't, there's no no response back yet from the Attorney General's office. Thank you.
Is it the same hearing officer for who's the hearing officer or the
Offices? For the other two, it was the same hearing officer.
Which one?
Her name is Stacey Anderson at the Office of the Attorney General.
So getting back to the director's report, the Guam EPA Administrator is attending the U.S. EPA Regional Administrator Quarterly Pacific Islands Environmental Directors Meeting on March 13th with Division Director Meetings the following week. So she got this for a while. She should be out for the next couple of weeks. There's no updates to the RF audit at this time, and I just go straight down to the GURA Technical Assistance Workshop and for Community Development Block Grant Disaster Relief, CDBGDR. It's ongoing. We did get authorized approval for 8 positions, but we were told that we can actually submit additional, so we added 2 more positions to 2 engineers, 1 and 2, for the project. And the project is in support of disaster assistance for the Typhoon Mawar recovery event. So these positions will support some of the permitting intakes, design reviews, and inspections that were a result of the recovery efforts. On March 5th, Guam EPA submitted a hazard mitigation assistance notice of interest to the Guam Homeland Security of Office and Civil Defense to qualify for the Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Mitigation Grant for a hardened permanent household hazardous waste collection facility for temporary collection of household hazardous waste during post-typhoon and disaster recovery to be constructed on 1 acre of the proposed Guam Environmental Resource Center property up in Dorito. Basically, what we're hoping to accomplish is that in the past events, disaster recovery events, we're using just in time. Whatever properties were available, we designated an area. It wasn't hardened, it was improved, it was under dirt, it was under soil, it was on pallets. Fortunately, there was no major releases that would have, you know, made it very difficult for the cleanup. So what we decided is to try and have a hardened area, not for Guam EPA to manage throughout the year, but in the event of a typhoon recovery, disaster debris recovery that requires household hazardous waste collection, that we have a facility that is capable of containing it. And normally the way it works is Guam EPA will stand it up and then we hand it off to US EPA, who manages the household hazardous waste collection and disposal off island. So a number of years ago during Typhoon Mawar, I think $5 million was spent from US EPA to remove that household hazardous waste from all the different areas around the island. So we're hoping to basically have a hardened permanent facility to work out of. The CDBGDR portal for the application submittal, it will be opening on March 30. So we've been having outreach events with GURA to prepare for this March 30 opening. We did get a response from Homeland Security that a letter that would include Guam EPA's plan into the hazard mitigation the island, which would make us eligible for submitting this proposal. And then we have the inspection activity for March 9th to February 9th to March 6th. And the numbers are here if you wanted to ask any questions about the inspections that we're doing. Total is 182 inspections. Permit activity. The agency received 80 applications. We issued 359. And we don't have any holds at this time. And that concludes the administrator's report.
Thank you. Deodorant IAL regulations.
do you want me to?
So for the deodorant IAL regulations, we received the comments from the last public hearing, public outreach.
Yeah. Do you want me to talk about that? Okay. So we did have the public hearing. When
was
March 6th? Thank you. We did receive some public comments prior to the deadline, and so we're still reviewing those. We were hoping to have responses ready, but they should be ready. Probably we're expecting by the next meeting, right? Should be. So and then it would be ready for the board to review and vote on.
Okay. Any new NOVs issued since the last meeting?
No.
We don't have any new NOVs at this time.
Okay, thank you. Any public comments or from the board or questions?
Did you have a question? You mentioned for the building, they submitted the design, and then you guys had comments. What kind of comments were those?
So so based on the design, the 30% design submittal, they did the presentation. One of the major changes that we added to the design was the switching off of the EMAS program, which is in the general area where all the staff is going to be housed, to where the training, the meeting rooms were. So the meeting rooms were like right behind the main conference room of 100 PAC. So there's three meeting rooms that were designed. So we just swapped them out so that EMAS is closer to the laboratory. And then also closer to the showers and the facilities in the back, because oftentimes they come in wet, so they'll be able to change, get together, and then get straight into their office space without having to go through the whole building. So that was one of the major ones. And then we also had staffing. The number of staffing when we planned to house employees, we are trying to staff it at 100%. We planned for 100%. Historically, we never were staffed to 100%. But in the event that we do fill vacancies, we'll have enough space and we won't be short in space. So we just updated the staffing numbers based on the authorization that the program submitted.
I have a question. What's the latest with the DPW abandoned vehicle program?
You know, I'm not sure where that is right now. I know that we had a site visit for one of the recycling facilities that they were, you know, that they were interested in doing business with. It was, but other than that, I think that they're working on their RFP to get that off the ground. And I believe that they're going to be starting with their facility first. There's approximately, I think 500 vehicles that they've collected since the mayor's program stopped collecting off the easements that they got off and staged at their facility. So they're trying to get those vehicles off their property and processed and shipped off island. So they have the money. It was approved by the board. It's just a matter of them now going through the procurement process to get things underway, and you know how the procurement process is right now.
So what you're saying is they're removing it from the roads.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, but their compound is full. So right now they're kind of like waiting until they get their RFPs out to get contractor to relocate everything to the recycling facility.
So is that their, like, SOP? They're going to move it from the road to their property and then use the RF funds to move it from their property to the recyclers?
You know, I haven't seen their, I don't recall their work plan, but I suspect that they want to get out of storing anything on their property and they want to take it directly to their, you know, to the recycling facilities. The recycling facility that we visited, they were equipped with, you know, removing oil, depolluting the vehicles, crushing the vehicles, and then direct load into a shipping container. So they don't plan to stockpile unprocessed material. So once they get a vehicle in, depollute, crush it, and then straight into the shipping container in cubes to be shipped off to Korea.
Yeah, maybe at the next meeting we could get a comprehensive update on the execution and the money.
Yes.
Yeah, we could ask them to come in because when they came in to ask for the funds, they said that their RFP is going to be done within like 30 days, I believe. And
that's why we had a continuation meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
They did say that they were waiting for the recyclers to set up shop here, right? The one guy coming from Saipan was going to open something here.
Yeah, so we actually visited that site, and they have a permit with Guam EPA. So that's why I'm suspecting that it's probably a procurement thing.
But there's already the existing companies that we're doing under MCOG.
No, actually, this company is a new company.
I know, but to say that it's up to a halt because the Saipan company is coming here, right? There's still existing companies that are...
Yeah, I think that wasn't the holdup. It was just everything was kind of like merging to the approval of the 2 mil, and then the, you know, the company coming to Guam and setting up. It just, everything was just in line. And, you know, personally, I think that because it's a new facility, you know, they're not going to have to deal with space restraints and other issues that the other facilities may have in terms of space allocation. But yeah, and I think logistically it's closer to DPW. It's kind of like where that over underpass between the Army Guard, the former Army Guard facility,
and over,
yeah. And it's kind of like right on that slopes side. There's like an area that was used as a equipment yard at one time. So they came in, cleaned out the whole lot, and got the permits to set up their recycling facility. So looking forward to, you know, to inspecting them to see how things are going.
They really cleared a lot of cars out of that lot.
They did. They cleared a lot of, and, you know, already people are engaging with them to accept more stuff. But they know that they do have a capacity that they have to make sure that they maintain, because their lot is a lot smaller than the other lots around. So they actually have a facility in Saipan that they're operating. So in terms of processing and shipping out, they have that down pat. DPW, you know, basically was really impressed with their operation in Saipan.
Who's that company?
FSM in Saipan.
FSM?
Yeah. They have an FSM in Guam, but
yeah.
They used to own it, but they sold it to the current.
Okay.
Yeah, so they opened up an FSM in Saipan that they were operating. They were taking care of a lot of the, I guess, abandoned vehicles that were generated in CNMI. And when they got an opportunity to come out to set up shop, I think they too are excited, because I think the volume of waste that Guam generates is far more than the region.
They're going to be overwhelmed.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. I counted in my little subdivision where I live, it's about 0.7 miles, 17 junk cars on the side of the road,
yeah.
And at least 10 more in yards that haven't moved in a year,
yeah.
At least.
So, you know, a lot of people are kind of excited with, you know, DPW taking over and starting, because there's a lot of accumulations that's going on right now. I don't know if they'll be able to clear all that this year, but definitely they're going to start with their yard and then work towards clearing some of the ones that are on the easement.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments, suggestions?
Like what you mentioned earlier about like having all the division directors here, put that on the next agenda.
What do you and Michelle think?
I like the idea. The reason why I like the idea is because I remember that's how it was done.
Yeah,
in the
it was
past.
Done like that before.
And then, you know, different administrations, different boards, they have their unique way of stuff. But
that's what I'm saying.
It allows, you know, the divisions or even the program managers to explain the programs and really, be involved in this process.
Also, it gives us an opportunity to understand what's going on. Agency.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you can give us an administrative report, but that doesn't really cover everything.
Yeah.
Well,
better to have that
yeah.
in person.
Yeah, I agree, because I mean, when I'm looking at like these staffing numbers, I mean, it sounds. I don't know. How do we really interpret it? Are we just doing a lot with less? Are we struggling? Do we, you know, just have these extra positions as a buffer, but we don't really, you know, clearly we're operating, but it would be really helpful to have a division manager to say, yeah, actually, we are operating at 50% capacity. We really need this, that, and the other thing, you know, or, well, we're holding firm, but it means that we can't work on these projects or those projects or... You know, and that would just be really helpful for us as far as oversight, because I don't really know what this means, except that we can use a lot more people.
Well, as the acting Air and Land Division Administrator,
yeah.
I can say that is exactly right. We're operating less than 50%. I mean, really, we are like, some programs are one deep. There's some that's two deep, and we're losing three engineers. And a lot of those programs are one deep in engineers. And now, you know, with the exception of Safe Drinking Water, who has environmental specialists in there, and we have inspectors. But in terms of the engineer pool, we are losing engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And engineers is really hard. And that's why we put in a request for two under the GURA grant to fill. And because they're going to come in and they're gonna recruit at a higher salary or pay scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that that's one of the main reasons, is that we're just not comparable with the rest. I know that the governor said that, you know, it allowed Guamipi to do a salary survey for the positions, and that's something that we're going to have to work on because we're losing people and we don't have succession planning. And, you know, thank goodness for this grant that would allow personnel to come in to help. But there's just positions that definitely need a lot of help. You know, inspections are falling behind. Grant objectives are you know, being jeopardized because of it. So you're right. You know, you don't hear that. You see the numbers. You don't hear that. So I don't know if we're going to get in trouble later, but you had mentioned it would be nice for a division administrator to, well, that's what I'm saying. So I agree with you. That is the case.
I mean, even if you just rotated it, so we have, like, this division, this meeting, and just keep... I mean, I don't really know how long it would take, but I think that's really important, and I think it's really important for us to know all of these questions. I mean, I just happened to pick the staffing because it's just right in front of me. But, you know, one of our roles, I think, is to make sure that the agency can function, that it's, you know, that there is some kind of plan for the future, because... we can't constantly just be reactive, because what that means is that we wait until, you know, there's no one in a particular program and then say, oh, well, goodness, now we've got to do something about it. But if we actually hear from the folks and we're able to hear, I think that it'll help us, too, to figure out what we need to do on our side to make sure that those plans are going forward so that we do have some kind of future.
Yes.
Future planning, and that we're not just kind of reacting to things.
And I think the major issue is recruitment. That's the major issue is recruitment. So we hire, we hire for EHSs, for engineers, and it's just a hard fill. Nobody's applying, and even for the ones that make the interview, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we got another job somewhere else,
right?
So we had 5, and then went down to 4, then went down to 3. So there's, you know, it's just hard to fill those vacancies, and I don't know why it's so hard to fill those vacancies, because they're entry level. You know, I think that anybody with a college degree can come in entry level, because, you know, you start as an EHS-1 and then you get trained up.
What's that entry level pay?
For EHS-1?
EHS-1
entry. 45.
Yeah. 45. Engineers is like, what, 80? 75? 80? So, you know, it's outside, it's...
more.
it's definitely more. But hopefully we can do our position... and salary study and see.
Who's going to do that, since you mentioned it?
Well, that's something that we're going to have to either contract out or, you know, I think that a lot of, if I was to do it, you know, so, you know, in the Air Force Reserve, I was also HR. So I would start off with the positions that we have on Guam, right? And what are positions are those? So there's DOD, Environmental Protection Specialists, and engineers. There's private sector and specialists and engineers. And then there's, of course, the government of Guam, and then autonomous agencies. And just kind of get an average of what everybody is making, and then if you just put a random middle and say, this is the average, we're not asking for the top end, we're not asking for the low end, but let's just get in the middle, you know, just so that we can be a little competitive with that. Well, we're hoping that, you know, we're hoping that the government of Guam, you know, under the general fund can support. I remember attending this budget hearing, and Department of Agriculture was requesting for support for their conservation officers. Though they're 100% federally funded, they need to fill some bodies, and the legislature said thank you very much for, you know, filling the bodies that you currently have, and we will support the shortfall to augment your need on the program. So I think that we can get support from the programs. And, you know, we're trying to update our regulations. I know that we did maybe about 3 or 4 board meetings ago, we presented where we're at with the services that we're providing. The last time our fee schedules were updated, and, you know, how to move forward. So for solid waste, I provided information I think the last time the fees were updated was in 98. So 98, I think, using I guess it's the Economic Bureau of Commerce numbers the escalation model for interest or cost of living.
CPI?
So I used that as a model, and based on that, in some cases, it was like 98% were behind since 98.
Used an inflation something.
Inflation rate, yeah, inflation rate. And then I did I took the average for similar programs that the region was charging for the work that we're doing, and got an average of that. And in some cases, the average was less than the inflation rate, and in others, the inflation rate was less than the average rate. So it gave me a starting point in terms of, you know, where to justify the increase in some of the fees that we're looking at. Again, 98 is a long time. You know, when you pay $25 for unlimited amount of vehicles to transport waste, there's something wrong with that picture.
Right. I think that the other challenge too with if you're looking at employees and staffing issues is you really have to have a handle on who your competitors are, right? Because if you limit it to just sort of looking at Guam and taking an average, you know, it doesn't really, I mean, you may never ever still be able to hire people if your competitor is the Nebraska EPA, and they're going to always pay, you know, 100% more than we pay on Guam. It doesn't really matter if you're within the realm of reasonable on Guam. You know, you have to take those things into account. So I think whoever is going to do this study should be looking at those things as well, because we don't really want to have something where we're like, well, we raised it $5,000, because that's actually, for where we are on Guam, that's actually a big jump, when, you know, people are going to still go to, you know, wherever, Nebraska or Louisiana, right, or someplace like that, yeah, too. And it's hard because it's a specialized thing, right, an engineer. It's not, you know, just sort of any old person can do it.
Right.
So entry level is a little different, I suppose, but just for longevity and things like that.
So Jacobs Environmental, who was our contractor under the Recycling Revolving Fund, they did a salary evaluation for the solid waste management program, utilizing off-island salary scale, and they too found that it was less than expected.
Yeah. So I mean, and I think that for whatever the sales pitch for that is important, because you have to be able to say this is a specialized thing. I mean, it's sort of like doctors or whatever, you know, it's a specialized thing. So, you know, maybe that's the justification, but anyway.
We hire someone to do a DES audit. Make sure your position and your salary is matching.
Yeah, I know the last time they did it for the environmental health specialist series was Michelle actually did it. She had a desk audit. She filed for, you know, a desk audit, because when they separated the position description for public health, they used to be environmental health specialists as well, to public health officers. they bumped up their grade and their salary, and at one time we were all the same. So when she agreed, they corrected it, actually. So EHS 1 to 3 is equivalent to public health officers 1 to 3, but they failed to continue the evaluation, so the supervisors are less than the public health supervisors. Yeah, so it's still not quite there. But you know, in terms of right-siding it, they right-sided during that time. The Hayes study also did that, you know, evaluation. They also used stateside numbers for it to come up, to arrive at the salary that we have. But I still feel that, you know, if you're going to compete with Department of Defense and private sector and autonomous agencies who control their own salary schedule, it's going to be very difficult to compete with them.
Anyway, so next meeting,
yeah. Yeah, I agree with Heather. We don't need to have all of them, but let's start with one at least. Next meeting, we have an NOV appeal we're going to be deliberating on, DL Gen rules we're going to be deliberating on, potentially DPW update, whether it's from Glenn or DPW. But yeah, let's keep the momentum going on bringing in the divisions, whether it's one agency to start with, right, to hear what they've been working on.
Okay. So you want divisions, or do you also want program managers or programs?
Isn't the program under the division?
Yes. So the air and land division would consist of, you know, the solid
five programs.
So I don't know if you want
we'll
it just
programs.
By programs.
Yeah. You want to hear from air, then you want also
hear
from
sure. That'd be great.
All right. Yeah, all the people used to go are gone. Angel, Conchita,
Jesse.
Roland
and Jesse.
Jess, yeah. I mean, they used to be here all the meetings. Wow, I hadn't even thought about them. It's been so long since they've been gone.
Yeah, so let's definitely bring that back. Because before they would give a presentation, one presentation every so often, and I don't expect to start, because it's going to be pretty lengthy since the last time they've been in here. They're going to have a lot to update us on. But yeah, we'll get to a point where it'll be a quick, like, update. But I feel like the first update is going to be comprehensive. This is what we've got going.
Right. And then we have, you know, March 24th is Earth Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we put in a petition for a proclamation signing at the governor's office. So we're just waiting for the availability for that. And, you know, the agency's already planning for events. I guess the first week for the agency, and then we're trying to set up a site to allow other nonprofit organizations or organizations who have events to basically submit so that we can put the events on our website for those who want to volunteer for those events.
Cool. Anything else?
I'd like to make a motion to thank Steve for Director Hollis.
I'll second that.
For his service to the board.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much,
Steve. Man.
How long have you been on this board?
Six years? Eight years, right? How long have you been?
I don't even know.
Definitely more than seven.
I think you're going on nine.
Nine?
Oh, when Governor Calvo was governor, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't forget, if you haven't already, fill out your annual disclosure.
That I need to do.
Yeah, it's due March
24th,
I think.
Yeah.
I'll resend the email.
March. Heart attack. Yeah.
I'll resend the email.
And Beaver San Jose.
Yeah.
They say Joseph's
Day. Yeah,
it is. My mother's birthday. That's why I was young.
I'm looking at you like.
You said that last
what?
Year.
Yeah.
You said the same thing last year.
How do you remember that?
Okay. Next meeting scheduled tentatively April 16th, third Thursday. Arlene will confirm we have quorum.
I can't. Oh, yeah, I guess I could be here then. Yeah.
We'll need
Can
full
you
participation.
I'll be here.
I'm off island.
Okay.
But can you appear?
On the 16th. What? Probably.
What time zone will you be?
No, because I don't think I will be able to, because I'll be on East Coast time.
Okay. When do you get back?
I'll
or
be
are
back.
You available the 23rd? I mean.
Yes, the 23rd I can do. No.
Okay.
And I'm moderating some breakout sessions.
And then 1, 2, 3, 13, May is 21st. So then 1, 2, so 3 weeks before that would be April 30. How about April 30?
Hold, please. Yes, April 30 is okay.
Okay. We'll tentatively schedule for April 30, Arlene. All right. Is there a motion?
I have just a
motion. Make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
I'll second that, Director Hollister.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Your last official function.
There